the passing of another 7 days, once more we beckon your thoughts onto the hills as music and the spoken word are heard again. From Temple Square in Salt Lake City, Columbia presents the Tabernacle Choir and Organ in the 750th nationwide performance of this traditional broadcast, now in its 15th consecutive year. The Tabernacle Choir is conducted by J. Spencer Cornwall. Dr. Frank W. Asper is at the organ, the spoken word by Richard Evans. We begin with one of several cherished hymns to be heard today from Temple Square. It is the Dyke setting of Lead Kindly Light. Is my shepherd, I shall not want. The beloved 23rd Psalm is sung now in the hymn setting given it by Koshat. As we continue this hour from Temple Square, we turn to music for the organ. Dr. Frank W. Asper presents A Religious March by Guillemot. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? In every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty's veil or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land or the sea, as thy days may demand, so thy succor shall be. The words of this hymn, How Firm a Foundation, are sung to the music of the familiar Adesta Fidelis. From the writings of the Welsh composer John Hughes, the music of the tune Cwm Rhondda has been borrowed to give glorious expression to the hymn, Guide Us, O Thou Great Jehovah. Question that has been pressing itself upon our thoughts, which, because of a traditional reticence, we are sometimes slow to speak of. But it cannot be ignored. Perhaps it can best be introduced by a quoted statement. A statement to the effect that the greatest evil of the age is unchastity. One is usually inclined to challenge superlative statements of any kind. and hearing it said that among the almost innumerable evils of the day, unchastity ranks first in destructive effect. Our immediate reaction is to try to name some other evil that makes greater inroads upon the peace and well-being of men and society. But upon examining the facts, we may well find ourselves concluding that the greatest evil of the age is unchastity. To begin with, unchastity is the forerunner or the companion of most other evils, certainly of drunkenness, of hate and jealousy, of distrust, of disease, of broken families and broken lives. Unchastity and its byproducts are historically chargeable, in large measure at least, for the decadence and ultimate downfall of once formidable empires. The home in which loose morals have taken hold is a tottering home. A nation of loose morals is a tottering nation. And a man of loose morals is a tottering, unsafe man. With unchastity comes an accusing conscience, which drives peace from the heart, which, multiplied by the number whose lives it has affected, could account for the restlessness of a nation, for the disregard of other standards and ideals, for dishonor among men, and with one evil pyramided upon another, for the driving of peace from the face of the earth. Indeed, there can be no peace where there is no personal righteousness. And there is no kind of modern thinking that is proof against the results that follow the breaking of a moral law. It doesn't matter what we moderns call unchastity. The Lord God has already given it a name and affixed penalties which the laws of nature inexorably execute. And its fruits are bitter, even to those who thought they might be sweet. If there were words with which we could say it, so that it would ring unforgettably in the ears of the fresh, clean youth of every land, we would speak it loud 1,000 times upon the housetops. Don't take any false step from which there is no return. Don't do anything for which there is certain regret, and from which there is uncertain recovery. Don't lose that which can never be regained. Don't tamper with the wellsprings of life. Until someone names a greater one, we say again, unchastity is the greatest evil of the age. And to give way to it is to set out upon a road on which there are certain regrets and from which there is no sure return. Bach Library of Organ Music, we have heard Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. And now from Temple Square, we hear sung again the immortal words of Eliza R. Snow. The music is that of James McGranahan, as arranged especially for this hymn, O My Father. It is a hymn that speaks of a life that preceded our present memory, and of that life to which death is the entrance, through which man moves on his everlasting journey of progress and achievement, under the guidance of an all-wise Father, whose children all men are, and whose image they were created. Richard Condy and the Tabernacle Choir will sing, O My Father. This Sabbath hour from the crossroads of the West is ended. Until we beckon your thoughts again unto the hills, may peace be with you this day and always. This concludes the 750th nationwide performance of this broadcast from the Mormon Tabernacle on Temple Square, presented by the Columbia Network and its affiliated stations, originating with radio station KSL in Salt Lake City. As the voices of the choir and organ fade away within these echoing walls, so will they return again at this same hour next Sunday, over Columbia stations from coast to coast, continuing the 15th year of this traditional broadcast from Temple Square. The singing of the Tabernacle Choir was conducted by J. Spencer Cornwall. Dr. Frank W. Asper was at the organ. The spoken word by Richard Evans. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.